Welcome to the HealthLinks podcast, presented by the HealthLinks family of services. I'm your host, DJ Thatcher. Our mission here is to engage in conversations about the health and medical landscape of South Carolina so we're all better informed. In this episode, we're coming to you from Alice's Clubhouse Memory Care Day Center in beautiful Mount Pleasant. And this is a topic that strikes many of us who maybe have a loved one who is experiencing Alzheimer's and dementia. Here we are at Alice's Clubhouse, joined by David Avrutik, who is the co-founder and president, and Lisa Westerman, who is the executive director and registered nurse. Lisa, David, welcome to the HealthLinks podcast.
Welcome to Alice's Clubhouse.
Well, thank you for inviting us here. So, David, tell us about Alice.
Alice is my mother, and about 10 years ago, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and her primary caregiver was my father, who was about the same age. They were in their late 70s at that time. And my dad was one of these guys who I can do everything myself. And it finally got to the point where he couldn't. And we started thinking, like, what's the best way that mom can stay home and they can remain an active, vibrant couple? And yet, she get the care that she needs. And we did have someone who would come into the home, but that just wasn't stimulating enough. My mother was very intellectual. She loved to do anything to do with reading. She's a published poet, all this sort of great stuff. And along the way, we met Diane Sancho, who had run a facility like this up in Connecticut. And we said, Charleston needs us, South Carolina needs us. So we ended up through much effort and dealing with DHEC and all the regulations and everything that it takes to create something like this. But we have created the first adult daycare center specifically for those with memory loss in South Carolina. Wow. And my mother, the joke was that everyone in the world would love being here except my mother, who was not much of a club person. And she not only loved it so much, you know, she would come the 5 days a week that we're open, but she would also complain that we weren't open on the weekends. Mm. But what it did was, it not only enhanced her life, coming here with the program that I'm sure Lisa will tell us about, that is so stimulating and gives almost a purpose to our members. But at the same time, what the Alice's Clubhouse program does is that it changes the caregiver's life. It allows them to reclaim time for themselves where they can address their own medical issues, they can work, they can do whatever it is, that work out, do, you know, just get their lives back. And the effect that we see is that it is, it's a huge emotional change for the caregivers as well. That my father, his sense of humor came back, his lightness came back, his health improved. And ultimately, you know, it becomes harder and harder and harder, and people progress, and you understand that. But what it does is it extends the time that someone can live at home, can be with their loved ones, and ultimately it makes life better for both of them.
Wow. Well, Lisa, you really have two clients, right? You have, obviously, the people who come and spend the day here, as David just said, the family members as well. So give us a thumbnail sketch of what Alice's Clubhouse is all about, someone who's coming here and spending the day.
Okay. So I think Alice's Clubhouse, I think I define it as a fun place to be.
Yeah.
It's kind of bringing some lightness that can be bringing light to someone's day in when maybe they're having a little bit of a darkness with this disease. So we bring our members in. We have a licensed rec therapist that runs our program scheduling as far as activities and that sort of thing. So we keep them busy throughout the day. We come in and we bring them in the mornings and have some social time. We talk about current events, things in the newspaper, this day in history while we're having breakfast together. Then we kind of start our day as far as the activities. We do exercise every single day and they're modified so that everyone can participate, chair exercises. We do stimulating activities that are good for the brain as far as word finding. We do cognitively stimulating games and activities that we are constantly providing for our members to get them engaged, have the social aspect, have the physical activity as well as the mental activity while they're here. We break for lunch from 12 to 1 every day. We have a catered lunch that is brought into us by a catering service. Then we typically do something outdoors, weather permitting, to get them outside for some fresh air. We have an area in the back where we can do gardening and planting and that sort of thing. We take walks. Then we'll come back into the clubhouse in the afternoon and do more of the same stimulating activities, things to get them engaged. We find that they make friends here. It's a great social aspect for them, so they're not just sitting at home watching TV or not having people to interact with. And then we eat a lot here at the clubhouse. We come back in the afternoon. We do snacks in the afternoon for them. And we have implemented a book club. We bring people in from the outside, so we have pet therapy that comes in. We have dogs that come in and visit. We have the library that come in. Sometimes we have music. We'll have people who come and play acoustic guitar and sing. We have we're starting a massage therapy. So we try to bring in people from the outside as well to bring more activities to our program. And we also have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy offered here that they can get those services while they're here with us. We have a salon, they can get their hair cut. So we try to make it a place where the caregivers can bring their loved ones and get some additional services to prevent from having to take them to multiple places. So it's a place to come and have fun, and it's a really special place.
It sounds like people are exhausted by the end of their stay here, which is a good thing, right?
It is a good thing. We do get that feedback that they're pretty tired when they come home at the end of the day, but that's what we want. We want them to be engaged and stimulated and have form connections and do meaningful activities while they're here.
Yeah. And I think it's important to reiterate something that Lisa just said, is that with all the services that we do offer, the idea is to, again, take the burden off the caregiver, that they don't have to take them to a podiatrist, they don't have to take them to the hair salon. We have a podiatrist who comes in who treats their feet. All these sorts of things, the physical therapy, the speech therapy. And the less that the caregiver has to do, the better it is for both the caregiver and the person with the diagnosis, because there is less stress on them, there's less pressure, and their lives flow more smoothly. And we see that repeatedly, that that not only does our member improve, and we actually have data that shows us that when someone comes here, that they will either stabilize or improve. And it's obviously not a cure, but again, it extends the quality of life that both the person and their caregiver have. And so as that happens, again, the effect on the caregiver is that their life improves as well.
Wow. You know, like so many families, ours has been affected by this. My father-in-law, who was a retired doctor, had Alzheimer's, dementia, lived with us for a few years. We loved having him with us. It was exhausting, physically, emotionally, financially, and everything else. He ended up back, wish this were around back when he was with us, because he ended up in a nursing home, and that's where he spent his final days. You know, one thing, even though we loved having him at home, I think it was kind of lonely, because it was just us and him. Here, how many people are here in an average day?
Right now, it's about 15 people.
Okay.
We're licensed to have more than that, but at the same time, you want to grow in an intelligent manner. It's one of the funny things, what you're saying is that we've started to use the phrase dementia sucks.
And it does.
And at a gut level, everyone reacts exactly to that. Dementia really sucks. But when you think about it, what it does, it sucks your money. It sucks your time. It sucks your emotion. It sucks joy. And so it's not just that it's a crappy thing, and it is a crappy thing, but it's something that has such a penetrating effect on more than the person who has the diagnosis. It's not just a broken leg. It's not just something's, they have COVID. They have the measles.
Right.
This is something that is life-changing for everyone around the person. And what our goal is to make that life a better life.
And by the way, for those listening to the podcast, we have some great video and pictures of Alice's clubhouse as well. So do check that out. Lisa and David, everything you're doing here is at such high quality. I know that you're licensed by DHEC, Department of Health and Environmental Control. They require a ratio in a day center like this of like one caregiver to every eight members. Yours is much tighter than that, though, is that right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, on some days, you know, we may have three or four staff members here to 8 to 10 members that are here. So it gives us that ability to spend a lot of one-on-one and quality time. So we get to know our members very well. We get to know the families very well. And we kind of create that family feel here. One thing I forgot to mention was that we are a medical model. So everyone here gets an assessment when they come on board. We communicate with their physicians, so we know what medications they're on, we know what their diagnoses are. We form a chart for them here. They have a care plan, just like they would in a doctor's office. And we can administer medications to our members while they're here if that need arises.
That's a huge advantage. And you tell us more about the medical aspects. Obviously, you're a registered nurse. You have a specialty in geriatric and elder care. What about some of the other people on the staff here?
Yeah, so I'm a registered nurse with about 10 to 15 years experience in the senior industry. I also have another registered nurse on staff that handles the day-to-day nursing responsibilities that we provide here. We provide medications. We can do injections. Check blood sugars, we check their vital signs. So we're kind of on top of if we notice something that maybe is going on with a member that we need to notify the family or the doctor to get checked out. So that's really important. So we also have, like I said, a registered recreational therapist that does our calendar. And we do have volunteers that come in from the community and help out as well.
And then we have great partnerships with the physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, all these things that come in and supplement what we do ourselves.
Yes, we have nursing students that rotate through here as part of their mm-hmm. nursing program. We have occupational therapy students that come. We just have one that finished 3 months with us for her capstone project and brought a lot of good activities to the program for men. We've seen an increase in our male population, so that was great timing.
I was going to ask you about that. What is the average ratio between males and females here?
I think from what I understand, since the opening of Alice's Clubhouse, we've been more heavily populated with women. But in the last year or so, we've seen an increase in men. So right now, our male population outnumbers our female population, which is surprising.
So there's not another center like this right around here, is there? I mean, how rare is this, David?
We are the only medical model memory care day center in South Carolina. The first one and the only one. And it's a great resource for the community. We also try to open our doors, you know, if the space is needed. We actually just hosted, it was a great partnership with the Medical University and House Calls MD, where we hosted a choir for people who had memory issues. And that's something that has proven very therapeutic in Europe and has been very successful. I know it's been successful in Norway and some of the other Scandinavian countries. And that was the first time that's ever happened in South Carolina. So we try to open our doors to other positive ways of helping people in this area as well.
What an amazing idea. And your own personal history is interesting as well. You are a lawyer. You've been involved in both for-profit, non-profit organizations, and high-tech, and book publishing, kayak manufacturing. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I do have a varied background. As you mentioned, I do have a law degree, and I did practice in New York for long enough to know that I hated it. but that didn't take very long. I was a senior executive at a major New York book publishing house. I was the founding president of a college here in Charleston, the only college of its kind in the country, the American College of the Building Arts. I've helped start a tech company, and then everyone's favorite is the kayak manufacturer, which was the oldest North American kayak manufacturer. So what all those things allow me to do is help people who actually know what they're doing do their jobs better. Mm-hmm. And that was the Building Arts College. People say, well, what's your trade? What's your skill? And mine was building organizations and allowing people to do what they do as best as possible. And so while I do not have a background other than a personal one here, I do everything I can to support Lisa and the team here to do the best job possible.
It's interesting because studies have shown that the more active we keep our mind, the more we can arrest, I guess we could say, the onset of Alzheimer's and dementia. So this is your background. You will not have this problem. You're very active. But tell us more about that, Lisa, from a medical standpoint. You know, what you're doing here, how it's helping people. I know you have both studies and some anecdotal evidence that that you're seeing a reduction or an improvement in people as they are as they're here.
Yes, we do. Upon membership here at Alice's Clubhouse, we do a mini mental exam, which most people are pretty familiar with, cognitively, to kind of get where the member stands at that point. And then we typically reevaluate about 6 months into the program. And as David mentioned earlier, we typically see either a stabilization or a slight improvement. That does not mean that there is a cure for this at all, but it does show that the interaction and the socialization and the cognitively stimulating activities that we provide can help slow down the process, which is extremely important. And we hear from the families the change in their loved one as far as how they are interacting at home, how their anxiety maybe has dissipated a little bit, because as you can imagine, anxiety is pretty prevalent in this population due to the confusion and due to the memory loss. And so I think some of the things that we provide here not only help while they're here, but it helps change the conditions while they're at home as well.
And I think it's worth adding that one of the things that Lisa does here is this, as far as our members, and we have members, we don't have patients, we don't have clients, we have members of the clubhouse. They're here because they enjoy the socialization, they enjoy being here. It's not, as far as they know, and as far as they think about it, it's not a memory care center. It's where they come because their friends are here. At Thanksgiving, they went around the table and asked people, what are you thankful for? And you know, everyone's thankful for their family, everyone's thankful for health and things like that. But one thing everybody said was how thankful they were to be at Alice's Clubhouse and how the members here are like a second family to them. And the power of the socialization is really amazing. And again, it's not, oh my God, I've got to go to the clubhouse. It's like, they come in the morning, they're like, hey, how are you today? This is great, you know, great to see you. And the amount of laughter you hear, the amount of pleasure that these folks are experiencing here is really fascinating and wonderful to see. And again, life-changing for them, life-changing for their caregivers.
So Lisa, you take care of the initial assessment and intake. What are some criteria you're looking for, and who may not be a good fit for coming to Alice's Clubhouse?
Yeah, that's a good question. We typically say that people with an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis are appropriate for Alice's Clubhouse if they're in the mild to moderate stages. Now that can vary, and that varies widely depending on each individual, but we do offer a free trial day. So we do that so that our members can come in, enjoy the day with us. We get to interact with them and do an assessment while they're here to just make sure it's a good fit for us as well as the member and the family. Basically, people can come even if they have some mobility restrictions. We have members here that utilize walkers for mobility support. We have trained staff that can help assist them with their activities of daily living, for example. But once they get to a point where they're not able to have that mobility, or they're not able to maybe feed themselves, or kind of some of the activities of daily living that we require to be able to get benefit out of the program here, then they would no longer be appropriate. So there is that window of opportunity. The sooner that they can come to Alice's Clubhouse, the longer their time will be spent here, and the more they'll get out of the program.
We can hear the activities taking place in the background here.
Yes.
As well. It sounds very active. I noticed that, and you'll see this on the video, there is an alcove there with a couple of beds that people can take a nap, I guess, if they need it.
And that has never been used.
Really?
We are required by DHEC to have those beds, and they have never been used.
That's interesting.
And what you'll find in there are things being stored more often than anyone else being in that room.
Well, tell us now, a lot of people are probably wondering, what is the cost of something like this? And is it covered by insurance? Is it self-pay? The details such as that.
The cost is broken down two ways. If you come 2 to 3 days a week, it's one expense. If you come 4 to 5, it's different. It is not covered by Medicare or Medicaid, but we do help folks who have long-term health care insurance to use that, and that will be covered.
Yeah, tell us about that. It's interesting. Years ago, when I had dark hair, we had a new life insurance policy, and as part of that, they offered us this long-term care insurance, cheap as anything. I think it's $80 a month for both my wife and me. Never really thought about it until, like I said, my father-in-law had dementia and needed these types of services. What is the advantage of anyone buying a long-term care, you know, health insurance policy like that?
Well, insurance is definitely not my field or my, I do not have expertise in that.
Sure.
But I will say that there are a handful of members here that do have long-term care insurance that covers their stay here at Alice's Clubhouse in Fall. We try to provide assistance as far as billing that for them as a courtesy, so that they can get reimbursed easily.
Wow, that's interesting. I had to get that little promo in there. I don't sell insurance, but it is a great it's a great benefit. Well, David, you're very entrepreneurial, obviously. Do you have plans to expand Alice's Clubhouse to other areas, or have you been approached by anyone to do that?
We've actually been approached to be acquired, which is a nice compliment.
Very nice.
But we've actually started a process of looking for a second location. We've had many requests to be in many areas, but we want to do it in a fashion that makes sense both financially and geographically. And so we are looking into one area right now, but it's a slow process. And but ultimately the goal is there should be many more Alice's Clubhouses out there. The need is unfortunately out there, and we hope to help more people with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if you can answer this, Lisa, from your medical background, but it seems like we hear more and more of the prevalence of Alzheimer's and dementia. Is it that it's much more prevalent, or maybe we're just getting better at diagnosing it? Any insights there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. Obviously, being in this field, I hear so much more about it now because we're exposed to that. But I think that there's an awareness now around this mental health disease. And I think that hopefully what we're trying to do is decrease the stigma that is associated with that, the negative stigma that is associated with that. And I think people are being more open to conversation about it and more open to exploring other options for people who have that diagnosis.
So David, for a potential member or a family member who might be listening or watching this podcast, how can they reach out to you and get more information?
Easiest way is actually to call Lisa and call her directly. And we have a fairly robust website that gives you much of the information we've talked about, and certainly a way to contact us. And your email, phone, email, you can, once you're in touch with Lisa, she is very accessible, and we will do what we can to help.
All right.
We always offer tours, so if anyone is ever interested, I encourage them to come in and see the place, because I think a lot of times when people think of a memory care day center, they may have one image in their mind, but once you walk through the door and you see the place, I think you get a really good feel of the community and what we offer here. So I really encourage people to come and take a tour, and then also bring their loved one in for a free trial day.
And what we find is, and Lisa talked about the stigma of dementia, is that the earlier someone gets here after a diagnosis, the better it is for them, better it is for their family. But what we find is that many people, and this may be an outdated way of thinking, and hopefully it becomes an outdated way of thinking, is that there is shame involved in this. And someone gets Alzheimer's or whatever form of dementia through no fault of their own or through no fault of anyone. But there's shame on the caregiver side. Don't tell anyone that mom's got. Don't tell anyone dad's got. And that delays the process for them. And we've seen this repeatedly where people will come to us because they know they need help, but then they don't want to admit it to themselves. And they say, I can do it. You know, they go through a Superman phase. I can take care of it. But the longer they wait, the less help we can be. And we have found people who hear of us and they will sign up the next day. We have people who literally have taken years to come back to us. And unfortunately, those folks have suffered unnecessarily themselves in their lives, and they get to the point where we can only help them for a short amount of time. So the sooner someone does understand what they're dealing with, the better we can help them, and the longer we can help them, and the longer they can stay at home, the longer they can have the family relationship, and the better their lives will be. And I have to share one story with you, because I always tell this one story.
Sure.
And it'll probably make me cry, because I always cry when I'm telling it. But one of our early members was a fairly prominent person. He had founded a company that you all would know the name of the company, a fairly major business. And he ended up with a form of dementia. And his wife had worked at the company with him. And she was in the marketing group, and he was busily running this big, enormous corporation. And they would never see each other during the day. But at night, they would always get together. They'd talk about how their days went, and he would ask her out on a date. And they would go out on a date and do this. And after he joined us as a member, I think it was literally 2 days later, I came in, and his wife was standing at the front of at the clubhouse, and she was crying. Here I go. And I went up to her and I said, you know, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she said, she told me about how their business life had been and what their life had been like. And she said, for the first time in 5 years, he asked me out on a date last night.
Wow.
And it has that effect on people. It has that effect on me, clearly.
Yes.
But it's amazing how it touches the people, how it changes their lives. And the longer they wait, the less they get to experience that. The sooner they come, the better it is.
Wow. Thank you for that story. Yes. Well, Lisa Westerman, David Avrutik, thank you so much for inviting us here to Alice's Clubhouse Memory Care Day Center. It's a wonderful place. And thank you for joining us on the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, our podcasts are also video-based, and so you can log in and not only hear our guests, but of course see some of the pictures and video that go along with the subject as well. I'm DJ Thatcher. Thank you for joining.